So we'll start with the first Sunday of Advent was hope. So we're going to relight that. And the second one was peace. And we're going to do this one. And this week, the third Sunday, we're going to do this one, which is joy. So this is a candle of joy, also known as the shepherd's candle. This candle represents the joy that comes through the soon arrival of Jesus and the salvation that he has gifted unto us. It's the announcement by the angels singing to the shepherds in their fields. This candle represents Jesus, who is the light of the world, lighting the way for the shepherds who were tending their flocks by night. The joy the shepherds experienced when they received the good news about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. During the middle of the night, the darkest time, the shepherds encountered the angels. He is the light of the world.
And Luke 2:8-14, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this third week of Advent, let us remember that the good news of Jesus' birth has the power to bring us great joy during the Christmas season. Our joy is not dependent on what is going on in our life, in our world, or in the people that we are with. It does not depend on the gifts that we give or the gifts that we find under the tree, nor earthly things can give us complete joy. Our joy comes from you, Lord, and you alone. It is the gift that you gave us this first Christmas in Jesus Christ. Flood our hearts with joy this Advent season as we reflect on the good news of Jesus' birth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.
Oh, come, let us adore you. Genesis 1:81 in your books. It is, go tell it on the mountain.
Carrie knows this one.
And all the kids.
Yes, I want to hear those kids nice and loud.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, o'er silent flocks by night, behold, in that
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of the Nazarene. My name is David Ice. It is good to get to meet you and get to know you better. You might see in the back row, right now there's only half the clan, but we got three boys in the back. We got three girls and my wife are off getting settled into Sunday school, so that's my family. Please make them feel welcome and embarrass the boys. They love it. Talk to them about all sorts of fun stuff. They're like their dad. Yeah, I work at Redwood Memorial Hospital, so I may have seen you that way. We've been in the area for a long time. We tried to move to Eureka once when I got a job at St. Joe's, and we lasted 3 months because Eureka is, well, you know, Eureka. And my wife looked at me and goes, we need to go back home. We came back to Fortuna. We've been there, almost there. We just moved to Hydesville, but we've been in the area, Eel Valley, ever since. And it is home for us right now, and God's doing good things. Curious to see what the Lord is going to do. We're seeing some good things happening in local churches. We're seeing some stirring up, as you guys are experiencing. From the month of June to October, I was the interim pastor filling in at Centerpoint Church. So that's right as you come into Eureka. If you took the Herrick exit, right before you drop down to the golf course, it's tucked back there in the community. And we had the green light to go ahead. We met with everybody, and it was a good fit, a good start. And then about August, when we were coming up on a 3-month, let's get to figure this out and see what the Lord's doing, the Lord just took the peace away. It wasn't a bad separation. It wasn't an ugly divorce. It was this isn't quite right. And they're like, okay, this isn't quite right. So we finished up in October. We've been going to Hydesville Church because we just moved out there to just kind of go to church. I don't know, those of you who've ever done ministry, it's kind of nice to just go to church. And that first Sunday, I was in church, and we were singing songs, and my brain was going, okay, what am I going to teach? What's happening next? Who's in charge of this? And I'm like, I don't know anybody here. Like, I recognize them from Murrish Market, and that's it. This is great. Okay, just sit back, relax, worship the Lord, hear from the Word. So that's what our family's been doing. Well in contact with Ron and folks here. This one's been on the books for a little while to get me here and share, so I'm excited to get to share. All that said, enough of me. We don't want to talk about that anymore. I have one daunting thought for you. Next Sunday is Christmas Eve. How are you feeling at that moment? Like, I had to think about that this morning. I got my kid in the back going, yes! Kids are all stoked and excited. They're thinking this is the best thing ever. But when you think about Christmas as a parent, a grandparent, or anybody with responsibility, it's not what it looks like in every Hallmark movie. And it's not what it looks like on every Target and Amazon commercial. It's pretty daunting. It's pretty overwhelming. So now I'm going to ask you again or remind you again. In 7 days is Christmas Eve. How does that make you feel?
A year older.
The pressure's mounting. How many of you close your eyes and see this list? And as you're sitting there, the list just keeps getting longer. Some of you who are retired are going, no, not at all. It's beautiful. Some of us who have 6 kids are going, it's not beautiful. But I just want us to stop and think about this in light of Advent season, in light of what Advent means. Advent means the preparation for a coming king, royalty, or someone of great importance. And we are counting down to this coming king. And our Advent season is supposed to be 100% focused on Christmas, Christ Mass, Christ himself and church coming together to celebrate him. And when we stop in our life and we think about it, how much is that what life feels like right now as we consider everything going on? Life is crazy, and the world wants to drag you in 100 million zillion directions. And I wanted us to stop this morning and just think about this for a minute and just wait a minute and go, what are we really doing? And why are we really doing this? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we living a life that's glorifying to God in this season, or are we checking the boxes and can't wait till New Year's when we can get our kids back to school, and we can get back to normal, and we can just live our life? But in all of that, we miss Christmas, Christmas, Christ himself. And I don't want that to be what happens to you. I don't want that to be what happens for my family. And I know it just runs so fast. December is so fast. And my son was born on the 1st. I was born on the 9th, my mom was born on the 22nd, and my poor wife is going, that's not fair. This is terrible. How are we supposed to do all of this? And I think that's how a lot of people feel. So the first scripture to prepare our hearts today is Romans 12:2. I think they'll pop up on the screen this way. Romans 12:2. We think about this a lot of times about walking carnally. We think about this verse a lot of times about, man, just not looking like the world in ways of sinful things. But let's think about this in light of Christmas. Do not be conformed to this world in regards to Christmas, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Do you think God's will for you at Christmas is to run around and make it to Target that one last time? Almost get hit by a car, get in 3 cart accidents, and make it home in the rain? Like, is that what God's will for you is? His will for you is to have a renewed mind. His will for you is to be transformed and not be conformed to this world. And this world says, buy more, do more, be a part of every activity. Make sure you get it all in, or else your kids are going to have the worst Christmas of their lives. I remember I grew up in the days of video games being cool. They were just coming out. It was pretty awesome. And I remember we went through Christmas and we were at my grandma's house. And my aunt got me all these elaborate things because we drew names, so the cousins shared, which really means the aunt was buying. And she got me all these really cool things. I was into dolphins and killer whales, and she made this, like, these press stamp things and made a sweatshirt specific to it, which really dorky but really cool. Like, she put energy into that. She made me handmade fudge, which I love, right? She did these things that were specific to me, but I remember as I was opening these gifts, this is so bad and so carnal, I'm sorry. I knew that they didn't have that much money. And there was one gift sitting there from Grandma, and she had more money, and it was about the size of a video game box. And so I'm holding on to that one for last with hope, going, maybe, just maybe. Guess what? I opened it up, and it wasn't. And I felt disappointed as a punk 9-year-old because my goals were not set on just enjoying Christmas. My goals were set on, I hope that box has the one thing that I hope I want or think I want. And looking back on it, it's a shame. Don't be conformed to this world. That's why when we finish Christmas, we go, oh, it's over. Let's not have an oh, it's over Christmas. Let's have a thank you, Jesus Christmas. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the text. Heavenly Father, we just want to stop now with our lists, with our minds running about what's coming this week. Lord Jesus, we remember that you came this week. We want to remember who you are. We want to draw closer to you and nearer to you. We want your Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts, to fill us with your presence, and for us to be satisfied in you, not in stuff and activities. So, Father, I pray that you would take away all of the millions of distractions around us and let us feel the joy of Christmas as we lit that candle earlier. Please use this time. Please fill this time, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles handy, would you open them up to the book of Matthew? We're going to start in chapter 1. Go figure. We're starting at the beginning. Verse 18. So we're going to be looking here at the perspective not of Mary. We oftentimes see that one in the book of Luke. We're going to be looking at the perspective of Joseph. So Matthew chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 18, and we're going to go to the end of the chapter as we dive into this a little bit. But I want to put this into context as we think about life. And Christmas is supposed to be this time of excitement and joy, and we get all of our anticipations and expectations met. And that was not the first Christmas. The first Christmas was dark, gloomy, difficult, dirty, and downright ugly, right? You have to think about the conflict and the confusion that's happening 9 months prior to Christmas as we put ourselves into the window of seeing Joseph here. So let's look at this from a realist perspective and not a Hallmark perspective. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." Okay, so we read this and we go, okay, what's this really mean? All right, Mary, young woman, 13, 15, maybe 17 at the oldest, okay? Joseph, a young man, probably more in his upper teens, pushing early 20s. The way it worked in those days was, again, I keep going back to Hallmark, I don't know why, not this romantic, we fell in love, We got googly-eyed and we got married that we live in today. Follow your heart. We see how well that works in our culture. It doesn't work so well. It was not a follow your heart marriage. This was a betrothal. And the way this worked is the two parents would come together and go, here's my daughter. Here's our son. Let's come to an agreement. This will be a great thing for our families. This will be a great thing for our culture. This will be a great marriage. Let's plan this marriage for them. And it's planned. And at that point, they become betrothed. A betrothal is the equivalent in document form of marriage. You can't just break a betrothal. It would have to be a divorce. But they are not yet married. They haven't gone through the celebration. They haven't gone through the consummation. They're not living together yet. They are waiting. But yet by law, they are bound and would require divorce to separate them. Okay? So now you have Mary living at her place. And she comes with great news to Joseph, her future husband, and says, hey, guess what? An angel just came to me and I got a baby in my stomach. And that's when your kids go, Mom, Dad, where do babies come from? And Joseph goes, no, this isn't how this works. Nice angel story, Mary. I know you're sweet. Good try. Let's see how we can end this carefully, because I'm a just man. I care about you. I want to do what's right, but I can't marry somebody who's having somebody else's kid. Think of the black eye that is on me, my family, my community, everybody. This is a big deal. We can't just, no. Good try with the whole virgin birth thing. And so here we have Joseph considering these things. Does this look like happy, joyful, greatest expectations of times, Merry Christmas? This is real life. And that's the thing I want you to remember, that we're in the Christmas season, but we're still living in real life. And real life sometimes is hard. Real life sometimes is difficult and dark, and some of you may be experiencing difficult dark. Maybe because of family situations. Maybe because of the things going on. I don't want to discourage you today. I want to remind you that the greatest light and glory came during the darkest time for two people. Mary, for the rest of her life, had to tell the entire world that, yes, this is God's son. Joseph, for the rest of his life, had to say, yes, I knew because I trust God and not man. This is God's son. The rest of their life, that was their story. And they chose, at the beginning of the book of Matthew and the beginning of the book of Luke, to say, yes, Lord. That's dark and that's scary. And there are things that I want to encourage you in. What's the dark? What's the scary? What are we struggling through? And are we seeking the Lord to say, yes, Lord. Yeah. Okay, this is what you want. Let's do it. So, think about those times where that story comes and it's just unbelievable. I had one this morning. My 4-year-old was talking to me about horses and riding them and riding cows, and I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, what are you talking about? And thankfully my 9-year-old was like, oh, you mean that was the time we were at the fair and you were with Lucy and Lainey and you got on Lainey's little calf and so you rode a cow? And she's like, yeah, I was riding a cow. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. But when you told the story without the clarification, it was a 4-year-old story that made no sense. And that's how Joseph feels right now. He's dealing with a teenage girl story that makes no sense, and he's overwhelmed with what this means for his future and his family. And it's just too much for him. So he's thinking about how to put her away with respect. Verse 20. So look at that. We're moving right along. You guys okay with this pace? Good, because it's on my notes, so that's kind of what we're doing. Okay, verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph's pondering. Joseph's in a dark place. Joseph's considering, how do I do this? What do I do next? God, why me? Really? My whole life just got flipped upside down in this one moment. Why me? And the angel appears to him. And the angel says, Joseph, son of David. That's not technically David, but it's the lineage of David. which is important for the fact that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah and of the line of David. It's very important that Matthew put that in there. The beginning of Matthew is all the genealogies there to show that he's of David. So, just a little side note. The angel then declares to him and says, no, it's true. It's true. This is a Holy Spirit baby. This is the one and only Holy Spirit baby ever. Like, this is pretty special. This is pretty amazing. This is incredible. Still unbelievable, though. Still unbelievable. We want to remember that. This is one of those times, though, where the Scripture says, and Jesus says it about himself, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and the truth shall set you free. Look at the freedom that Joseph now gets when he receives the truth, and he goes, okay. Whew. Angel message to Mary. Angel message to me. Fits in the same hole, same peg. Yes! This works! All right! The truth set me free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's exactly where the Scripture goes next. I want to encourage you in that we need to find the truth, because the truth will set you free. And Jesus himself is that truth for us. So as we're in our dark places and we're in our confusion, or as we're in our chaos, trying to get to Target and back to that story, how do we hear from God? What do we need to do to be people to hear from God? Is he going to send an angel, Gabriel, to give us that poof, light? Is he going to come to us in a dream and a vision? Is someone going to come up and slap you on the head and say, hey, brother, I heard this from God? All those things are maybe. But I want to encourage you to go to the absolute. The absolute, how we find what God wants and God's truth, is to go to his word and to find exactly what he has to say to us. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and what it says about Jesus himself. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. So God, speaking to his people, Israel, spoke to them in various times, various ways in the past, by prophets. Okay? By people proclaiming to them. Moses giving them the law. The prophets literally telling them the future and telling them, if you don't stop what you're doing, you're going to go into captivity. If you don't obey, this is what's going to be happening. God's word given to them by prophets. But now, verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, and his name is Jesus. I had to make sure we stayed awake. Someone challenged me to keep him awake. Whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he, Jesus, has made the worlds. So how is God speaking now in these last days? Through Jesus. Which means that God's spoke it already. We need to look back. We're not looking through prophets to tell us new visions and new ideas. We're looking to Jesus, who has already spoken us truth. We are not looking to new Bibles and new versions. We are looking to the truth that is already written in the gospel, already proclaimed through Jesus Christ, and we have it here in canon. We look to that for our answers. So, can we get visions? Yes. Can we have dreams? Can angels appear? Can our buddies slap us in the head? All those things can happen. But what we need to do is look here, read here, find here, pray through the Scripture. If you want to know God's word, pray God's word. Pray to understand it. Pray it for your life. Pray it over your family. I have to confess, I fail at that so miserably. I'm really good at praying what I want or what I think I need. And I need to stop and pray that the Lord would just use my family. Be over my family, direct my family, have my family. And for us to just go, yes, Lord, and have a heart of faithfulness and obedience. And that's when things will happen. So, we had the aha moment for Joseph. There it is. And look at verse 21. I'm going to read it one more time. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Step of faith there. For who? Not Mary, Joseph. Joseph had to call him by his name. the name that God gave him. He could have gone off the rails, right? Call him Bartholomew or whatever. This isn't my kid. This wasn't my doing. I didn't choose this. I didn't want this. I wanted my own child. But no, we know he was faithful and obedient because he said, yes, Lord. He had to name the child Jesus. And look at what Jesus will do. He will save his people from their sins. The original advent, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. And what was his mission? Save people from sin. That's so important that we understand that. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you are the choir. You're in church, and literally we all just sang a cappella, so we are the choir, right? But it's so important that we understand that Jesus did not come to set us free from Rome, which 33 years later, that's what they were all hoping for. Remember the triumphal entry, and they laid their clothes down, and they were waving, and they were flapping, Hosanna, he's here. Yes, drive Rome out. Give us freedom. Let us be the Jews of the Jews in our own land. Give us the power of our temple back, the authority that we want. And God said, no, no. Not only are you not getting that back, you're losing your temple in AD 70 because you're looking to man's things. You're looking to the wrong thing. You need to be looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. So Jesus came with one mission, to set people free from their sins. It's a sin mission, and he's the only one capable and able of doing that. So when we think about Christmas, and we think about how many people, billions of people, are going to go through Christmas without Christ and without Mass, without church, they're missing everything because they still have the weight of sin on their own shoulders. And when they're done with the presents, when they're done with the joy that's supposed to make them happy, they go back to work on the 26th, and by the 28th, everything's back to normal, and they're hoping to get hungover on the 1st to forget everything. Because that's the cycle of man. It's so sad. Jesus came to deliver people from their sins. Let's go back to that Hebrews passage. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Let's look at the next line. It says, still speaking of Jesus who had created the world, is where we finished in verse 2. Who, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself. Do you see a lot of him, he? Nothing about you, nothing about me, nothing about my authority, my power, my goodness. It's all himself. Purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Whew! Purged our sins and sat down. You know when you finish that job, whether it's painting the house, hanging the picture straight, I can't ever do that, whatever it is, but when you got those big projects and you're done and you sit down and you go, wow, it's done. Whew! Feels good. But if you got that drive and it's got to be right, you can't sit down till it's done. Correct? You can't leave it halfway unless the kids are crying and things are going off the rails, right? But if you're in the middle of that project, you can't just leave it. Jesus finished the project. And what was the project? Matthew chapter 1, 21. And he will save his people from their sins. He completed it. Sat down at the throne on high, said it's finished on the cross, proved it in heaven. And guess what? That's where he is right now. The work is still done. The work is still completed. And that is the story, the message, and the truth of Christmas. Don't get caught up into lambs. That's Easter. Don't get caught up into Christmas trees. That's pagan. We won't go down that road. But the truth is here that we can't accomplish it on our own. We can't do it on our own. We can't wash away our own sins. And that's the story of the Bible. That's the story of the truth. From the very beginning, Genesis chapter 3, they sinned, right? They ate the fruit. They got separation from God. They used to walk in the cool of the day with God. And all of a sudden, they're hiding from him because they recognize their sin. They recognize what they've done and the separation that's there. And God says, where are you? And we're here. We're hiding. We're covering ourselves. We think we're okay. And God says, here, let me sacrifice for you. Make you a covering of skin, which requires a sacrifice. And one day, the seed will come, and he will smash Satan's head. Jesus was prophesied, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And the message was the same. He will come and he will smash sin. Not that he will come and he will give you utopia. Utopia is fake. Psalm 32, a psalm of David. Let this sink for a minute. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed, happy, fulfilled is the man or woman whose transgression is forgiven and his sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. We're not coming to God lying with deceit. We're saying, here I am, the best I've got, worthless, filthy. Please do not impute. Please do not give me what I deserve. Please do not keep that running tally of all of my sins and say, you, David Ice, have 44,000 sins last week. And you keep doing that math all the way through. And when you stand before God, that's not a happy place to be. But happy, blessed is the man, the person whose sins are forgiven. God does not impute that to them. That's what makes Christmas the best. That's what makes Christmas Christmas. And now we get to transition to the title of the message, as we're almost done, is Emmanuel, God with us. And it goes right along with the joy candle. Because without Jesus taking away our sins, there's no joy. There's no joy. We're just like the other billions who are waiting to fulfill our time. Let's keep reading here in the story, Matthew chapter 1, 22. So all this was done that it may be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Where did Joseph go in this story? Joseph started in the dark, confused, hurting, questioning God, I'm sure, and wondering what he was going to do next. Where does Joseph end in this story? God's with you. Your sins will be forgiven, and how blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. And your child is God, and God will be with you. Whoa. But that is the same message and the same journey that each and every human being has to go through in this life. We have to recognize that life without God, life without relationship with God through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, is dark and hopeless and empty, and just like you're in the coffee grinder and you're the bean bouncing, just waiting to get ground up. It's just terrible. Hopeless. Until you recognize who Jesus is. And you recognize that Jesus himself is sent by God. I wrote this down and missed it earlier. The name Jesus. You shall call him Jesus. God is salvation. He's not hiding it from anybody. He's declaring it to the whole world. God is salvation. Receive your salvation. And guess what? You can be right with God because God is with you. I have so many thoughts on this, and this was actually what the whole message was going to be, and I'm thankful that the Lord took me away from that a little bit. But when you think about God with you, this world, very far from God, it's not hard to figure out that this world is not going the direction of God. And when I say world, I mean world system. When I say world, I mean politics. When I say world, I mean war. When I say world, I mean the whole economic, military system that's pushing things in directions beyond our control. The social things that are pushing us. The Facebooks and the swipe left and the swipe right life. They are not pushing you any closer to God because they're not of God. This world is in complete contrast to God. But yet God wanted to make it so clear with the joy of Christmas that you have Emmanuel in your life. You have God with you. You have God alongside you. And so much so that when you receive Jesus Christ, you have God in you. You have God in you. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Okay? God has anointed us in Christ. Okay, we're getting this Trinity thing happening here. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. We're not wandering around lost in the dark. We have the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit right there saying, God with us. God in us. We have the Spirit as a guarantee. Sealing our heart for that day when we see Jesus. It's just an explosion of our heart. The Holy Spirit just opens right up and just says, this is my kid. This is us. This is us, God, here. It's not this, am I saved? Do I know God? No. If you know God through Jesus Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and there is no denying that. If there's confusion there, dive into Emmanuel, God with us. If there's confusion there, dive in to what Christmas is really all about. The one who came to save the world from their sins. If there's confusion there, get to know God more. Because God knows you. And he says, Emmanuel, God's with us. And I want to seal you as a guarantee, says the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. So good, so strong, so powerful. I got to wrap this up before I start losing y'all. Okay, here we go. Joseph believed, and his whole life changed. If you believe, your whole life will change. And he wants to do it in you. Christmas is about Christ. Family is about people, not just ticking the box. Work is no longer just for the money, but God has purposed you to be there. Life is not just getting through. There's a statistic that says Mondays and New Year's Day are when the most attempted suicides happen. You know what day New Year's Day is on this year? Why? Because people are doing Christmas without Christ. Because people are trying to be fulfilled by this world without God. And when the tinsel's all down, and when the new year comes in and they don't have a new hope, the only hope they have is to hit the gym and hope it gets better. That's not hope at all. Hope is found, 1 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, where we have the Spirit as a guarantee. It's not going away. It's forever sealing you. That church is hope. That church produces joy. And I want to encourage you to walk out of here today in that joy. Let me leave you. Well, actually, I got to read this scripture, and then we'll read one of the most famous scriptures on the pages. Verse 24 of Matthew 1. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. He did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He heard from God, and he said, yes, sir. It's believed that he married her before they actually went and had the child. But yet he kept the celebration and kept the consummation to ensure that this child was God's child. There was no way Joseph was messing this up, because this child is Jesus. God is salvation. And he wanted to make sure that message was ever clear. He said, yes, sir. Let's take a look at John 3:16. I'm sure you've heard it, but let's put it in light of Christmas, and let's put it in light of what we just talked about with hope and joy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you're wondering how to be saved, it's in him. If you're wondering where your hope is, it's in him. If you're wondering where your joy is this Christmas season, it's in him. I pray you walk out of here today blessed and encouraged and maybe challenged a little bit, because I know my priorities get all scattered. We need to get our hope and our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. We thank you so much for the power of your scripture, Old Testament through New. It's life-giving. Lord, we want to be your children, and we want to believe. We saw Joseph go through a time of disbelief to belief. Help us, Lord, with our disbelief. Help us with our lack of faith. For those of us who know you, that doesn't mean we're not saved. It just means we're struggling. So meet us. Help us to seek you in the scripture. Help us to find you and grow closer to you. And Lord, if there's anybody today that's looking for hope in a Christmas tree, hope in festivities and tinsel or the movie Grinch, Lord, I pray that they would seek you as their true hope and their true joy. Because in you there is life and there is life abundantly, and we celebrate that today in this season. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit. Please speak to our hearts. And please bless this time of fellowship as we share together. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, Amen. Amen.